You are tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and IDE Computers. Now your hosts, Sam Dunham, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everyone, welcome to Nerd Overload. Happy Free Comic Book Day, everybody.
Woo!
If you're live anywhere near a comic book shop, stop in today. You get some free stuff. It's great. It's a great, great little fake holiday. Anyway, I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
I'm Cody.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you guys this week. Thank you for tuning in. We got some news that we're going to be talking about. But first, as always, we're going to be talking about what we've been checking out this week.
So this morning when I got off work, I decided to get bored and kind of just search Disney on Netflix.
You decided to get bored? It was a conscious decision?
I guess. I don't know.
Anyway,
it's how my brain works. But I searched Disney on Netflix, and they actually have a lot of films.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot. And like a lot of good Disney movies and a lot of their crappy sequels.
Oh, yeah.
But I was flipping through, and I saw The Rescuers on there, and I was like, wow, I haven't watched that movie in a really, really, really long time. Like, I barely remember it.
Wow, yeah. It's been a while for me, too. It's...
Yeah, I know I've seen it, but I can't remember anything
exactly.
About it.
Like,
it might have been a bird.
There's some mice and a bird.
Like, seriously, I've watched The Rescuers Down Under, like, a million times.
Mm-hmm.
The Rescuers, this is probably the second time I've ever seen it in my lifetime.
Yeah, it's a, I always like Down Under a little better, because I think I've seen that one a
ton. Oh, yeah.
Too.
Well, that one came out in 1990, and, like, the animation was better and everything.
Yeah.
The original Rescuers was 1977.
Yeah, that's
you want to talk about a gap between sequels?
Well, now was it Zsa Zsa Gabor who was the voice of?
Yeah,
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 yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah, and Bob Newhart is.
That's right.
Is Bernard?
That's right. Yeah.
And there's a lot. It's kind of weird watching it because you're sitting there like it's the exact same animation style as like Disney's Robin Hood, Jungle Book. There's a lot of reoccurring voices that come too. I just forgot about it, and I was like, "Man, this is actually pretty good." None of the characters actually sing in it.
That's right. It's one of the few that really doesn't have that many songs.
Well, they have songs, but none of the actual characters sing it. It's always like just part of the soundtrack.
Right. That was done around the same time as Great Mouse Detective. And
yeah.
Like
oh
that,
yeah.
Right?
Like I said, it's a lot of the same. Like there's like a swamp mouse in the bayou who drinks moonshine all the time. Which, by the way, there's drinking and smoking and shooting in this movie, and I'm like, man, they don't get away with that anymore.
Yeah, right.
And there's the voice of this bayou mouse is the Sheriff of Nottingham from Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, that's actually another tie because he was the shop owner or mayor or something in Green Acres, which Zsa Gabor was in. Mr. Haney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I forgot how good it was, and it's interesting, and it's fun, and I love Disney movies.
Yeah.
Isn't Zsa Zsa Gabor the cat in Aristocats, the Duchess in the Aristocats?
I don't know.
She might have been. You're right.
I like that movie. That's one of my favorites when I was a kid.
Yeah, I was sitting there, and she's very Zsa Zsa about everything in this movie. It's like Bernard Darling and all these things like that.
Yeah.
I used to watch the Bob Newhart show like religiously when I was growing up.
Really?
Well, I had Nick at Night, and
a lot of times
I just
makes sense.
I would watch that and Mary Tyler Moore Show and Bewitched. And it kind of brought me back to an earlier time in my life where I just watched classic TV shows. And I actually was recognizing voices and things. But that's pretty much my check it out, watching old Disney movies.
I also hit the Netflix too, but I watched a documentary called Winnebago Man.
Okay.
And it's about that old viral video where it's a guy in a Winnebago like industrial video. Like a commercial, I guess not really.
It was a commercial. He was filming a commercial.
Yeah.
And he's just really angry.
Yeah, he gets real mad and he swears all the time and it's pretty funny. But they went out and actually like found this guy.
Because there's like a story behind it, basically.
Yeah, they tried to find out the story behind the video and who this guy was. And like he was really hard to find, it turned out. Like he like lives in a cabin on a mountain in California somewhere.
Huh.
But he was just a really interesting character. Like, the first time that they meet him, he, like, plays off like he's a calm, like, everybody's nice grandpa. And then, like, a couple days later, he calls the guy back and be like, that was all fake. Like, I was just putting that on to try to get out of the spotlight and not and have it not be a big deal. But then he decided he wants an audience. And he's like this really well-read, like, you can tell he's a real smart guy.
Like how he spent his time, because he hasn't, it doesn't seem like he's had, like, other jobs. Because, like I said, it was really hard to find.
Yeah, he's like a caretaker of this area where his cabin is what he did.
Huh.
Did they explain why he was so angry in the commercial?
Because it was really hot and really crappy.
Tight spaces and...
Yeah.
Well, it got filmed because the production crew was like, oh my god, this guy. You know, they were trying to get him fired. When they did. That's what, part of why they couldn't find him, because you know, he got fired after that, because the crew, then it got passed around through everybody.
Yeah, and it got the tape got passed around a lot. It was viral before YouTube. And then when it hit YouTube, it got even bigger. But it was really interesting, like, you know, learn something about...
strange people.
Yeah, this weird guy in a video you saw.
Yeah, that does sound really interesting. I really like documentaries that are about, you know, just, like, one person. Like, well, kind of like the King of Kong. Like, it was... like,
oh, yeah.
Mitchell guy, because otherwise, you would have never known about this guy. And I just like docs like that. That's really cool. It's really interesting.
It was really good.
King of Kong is a really good documentary.
And it's a good one.
I love that movie. One of the few movies I bought without ever seeing it, because I'm like, I know I'm gonna like this.
Well, I've done a couple of things this week in preparation of the Avengers coming out. I've been trying to go through and watch some of the
movies,
Marvel movies, and I'm four into it. I don't think I'm gonna make it through all of them before, you know, going to see Avengers tonight. But I watched, you know, the first four: Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Thor, and Iron Man 2, and you know, for the most part, they all kind of hold up. I will say that when they were coming out, when they were fresh, I kind of thought Thor was the weakest one of the bunch. Not because it was bad or anything, but because it was the biggest stretch. Like, you had, you know, Iron Man that was kind of more grounded in reality. And, you know, you had Hulk, which was a, you know, a science-based kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you have Thor, which is, like, space aliens that are also gods living in, like, giant golden castles and all this stuff, and these and thous and all this stuff. And I always thought that was kind of the weakest. But going back after Avengers and watching all the other ones and seeing everything, Incredible Hulk, it just doesn't hold up like the rest of them.
Yeah, I'll admit I've only seen the Incredible Hulk once.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad movie. But
no.
I can't imagine Edward Norton working with the rest of the cast for the Avengers movies.
No.
I can't imagine it.
Mark Ruffalo definitely makes a great Bruce Banner.
Yeah, because Ruffalo gives just a little bit of the comedy. You know,
yeah.
Just a little bit, just enough. Like the self-deprecating stuff, which I love. I can't see Norton doing that.
No.
It would have been a very serious, very dour, very, you know, tragic character, which, you know, the Hulk is, but it just wasn't as fun as
it doesn't mesh as well with the
larger Marvel universe.
Yeah, like how it's fitting together.
Yeah.
Each movie has a little bit of comedy in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what makes them work so well.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know they're not
Zack Snyder.
yeah.
Looking at you, DC.
but they're really good. I have a feeling. I'm going to try to get through a couple more late tonight, but I'm probably going to skip the second Thor because I don't see it tying into Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to get through Guardians, although I love it, because it's not going to tie into Age of Ultron. I'm really just going to try to cover the ones that are probably going to tie directly into it. And really fun. And the other thing, just real quick, I love Kung Fu movies. I watched this Kung Fu movie the other night called The Odd Couple, not the one you're thinking of. But it stars Lau Kar-wing, who also directed it, and Sammo Hung. It's about two old masters. One was the master of the spear, and one's the master of the sword. And every 10 years, they get together and fight. Well, they're really old by this one, and they're both played by Sammo Hung and Lau Kar-wing. And they decide for the next time they get together, they're too old. They're going to train somebody so that they don't kill each other, because they've become friends over the years of fighting each other. So they end up training an apprentice for 10 years. And the apprentice is the other actor, not in old man makeup. So like old Lau Kar-wing is the master of the spear and is teaching young Sammo Hung. And old Sammo Hung is the master of the sword teaching young, you know, Lau Kar-wing.
Okay.
And then there's a guy that like they both defeated like 30 years ago, and he's like the master of like the Shredder claw, like the big like long like Wolverine claw kind of thing. And it becomes like a revenge thing for the two younger characters, and it's just really fun. It's really hard to find, but if you find it, I think it's on YouTube. But if you find it, check it out. It's really good.
You ever see that movie Duel to the Death?
I think so.
Sounds familiar. Where it has like the greatest swordsman in China and the greatest swordsman in Japan, like every so often have to fight each other.
Oh yeah, yeah, that does sound familiar. Yeah. Okay.
It's a very interesting movie, and it's kind of like just talking about that just made me think of it.
Mm-hmm. And the difference is that's more of a serious one. This is a comedy.
Oh, okay.
This is very much a comedy. It's a lot of slapstick humor. I mean, any more slapstick humor, and it would have been a Jackie Chan flick.
My favorite kung fu movie is The Flying Guillotine, because it has a flying guillotine.
Oh, that's great. You know, that's a sequel, right?
Yeah, it's the one on Boxer.
The one on Boxer, yeah.
Netflix has The Man with the Iron Fist 2.
There's a second one?
Oh, yeah, it just came out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, man, I gotta get on that.
Yeah.
I'm like the one person in America who enjoyed The Man with the Iron Fist.
I've never seen it.
Oh, man.
Well, they made a straight-to-DVD sequel just for you.
Oh, just for me. Yeah. Awesome.
Straight-to-DVD, to Netflix.
The RZA, you know, great rapper, loves kung fu movies, not the strongest actor. He wrote himself to be the main character of his films. So,
bad news.
Yeah.
Bad news bears.
Womp womp.
Okay, well, I haven't been doing much, but I have been hate-watching Once Upon a Time on Netflix and Hulu.
Oh, that is a great pastime. Oh, I love that.
Do you guys hate-watch anything?
I hate-watch a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time.
That is a good topic. What do you hate-watch? Because Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
That's not a guilty pleasure.
No.
I hate it. It's so bad. Like, you were guessing lines before they were said.
And it's incredibly predictable. Yeah.
Like, I have a hard time saying anything is the worst of anything I've ever seen. But Once Upon a Time is, in fact, the worst television show I've ever seen.
It's laughably bad.
Yeah. They got 4 seasons of it.
Yeah, and people love it. It's super popular. I don't understand it because it is just terrible.
It just proves that people have no good taste.
Yeah.
Well, at least they're wrapping up the season this season, right?
We're on the second to last season now, or is it the last?
We're on the last one.
Okay. Well, it just seems like...
Is it Frozen?
Yeah.
The last season.
It just seems like, it used to be like fairy tales. Now it's just like Disney stuff just crammed down your
throat. It's always
been
Disney. Oh, yeah. Disney versions of fairy tales.
Well, it's become more and more Disney as it goes. Because it was always a little bit Disney, but now it's just like choking on it.
Oh, just wait till the back half of season 4 when the 3 magical super wizard... Which comes in. It's Ursula from Little Mermaid, Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty, and Cruella de Vil from 101 Dalmatians as a super powerful evil witch.
Which doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Wow. And the magical MacGuffin that's going to wrap up the whole season, it's Mickey's hat from The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah, we just saw that in the episode we just watched.
Yeah.
When they did the dance scene from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, God, I was still dying. Like, no.
They literally played the music from the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just become live-action Disney, but
it's
not
so
right.
Bad.
It was like the most neutered version of that dance scene you could imagine. Like, it's so...
Yeah.
Everything is crappy.
In CG background.
Yeah.
Oh.
Green screen.
Remember when they teased, like, other stuff, like, other universes earlier in earlier seasons? Like... There was Dr. Frankenstein from, like, horror movie universe for no reason. Yeah.
But he's not Disney. There's never been a Disney Frankenstein.
Oh, that would be awesome, though. Yeah. Can you imagine?
That was back when the show wasn't just, like, complete Disney. It's not like it's gotten worse, though, because it
didn't start the strongest to begin with.
Yeah, like I'm complaining.
Yeah, you know, that show has very much has Heroes syndrome. Do you remember Heroes?
Yes.
They had one halfway decent season at the beginning, and then the writers ran out of ideas.
Well, there was also the writer's strike, too.
Well, Heroes was going to run out of ideas eventually anyway. But, it's like the first season of Once Upon a Time was okay.
Well, wasn't it based on, like, a British show?
I don't know.
I think it was.
Yeah.
And that probably ran, like... a season or two, which is probably what it should have done.
It was probably 8 episodes.
Yeah. And which is about how much plot. The first season had was about the 8th episode. Yeah. But, yeah, they just ran out of ideas, and it's just...
Yeah, the Frozen stuff is so bad.
Like, they just threw it in just because of ratings.
They don't look like the people. Like,
not
I know
really.
It's hard to match up almond-eyed cartoon princesses, but still...
I remember seeing, like, when the Frozen stuff was first being teased, and when I first saw Elsa, I was like, that looks like a bad Halloween costume.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the costume looks bad. I think the actress looks actually kind of like the cartoon, at least a little bit. Closer than the other ones that they've tried to bring
in. Yeah.
Or, like, when they're showing, like, the flashbacks to Arendelle? Is that what it is? And they had, like, the innkeeper with, like, the mustache, who was basically a cartoon character.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, man, yeah, he pops up in one episode. He has this super fake, like, Swedish accent with this... like giant oversized mustache. He looks like a cartoon character. Oh, and like in
well,
the worst way
had
possible.
The trolls.
Yeah, they had the trolls like
the rock trolls.
Rock trolls.
Yeah,
it looks like they took the same character model.
And they took the voice, John Rhys-Davies was the voice of the rock troll in Frozen.
Yeah.
He was the voice of the rock troll in this too.
It's like they took the character model from the movie, made it look crappier, and then used that.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I for the Disney stuff, I partially blame the fact that Disney's pretty much got the wholesale on fairy tales.
Well, yeah.
And I think that's pretty much why they because everyone is familiar with the fairy tale or the Disney version of these fairy tales.
Well, and the show was made on ABC and ABC's
well,
Disney,
true,
so they had the
true.
Rights right there.
True. It's kind of you know, built in the house like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, before Frozen, I never read, you know, The Snow Queen.
Oh, yeah. Cody and I both studied, you know, children's lit in college.
Yeah.
So we know, like, all of the old fairy tales. They're so much more interesting than the Disney.
Well, I know. They're a lot darker.
There's a ton of material they could have did something
really
with.
Really cool stories.
What's, like, that failed Once Upon a Time spinoff, the Once Upon a Time in Wonderland? With Jafar. From Aladdin as one of the main villains. Why?
I hate what they did to Ariel too. Like they made her kind of like a dumb bimbo.
Yeah, they really kind of ruined that character. I don't, you know, as much as I like the actor who plays Rumpelstiltskin, I get tired of his act real quick.
Oh,
and I'm more tired about how Rumpelstiltskin is also the crocodile that ate Hook's hand.
And
he's
Beast.
Also the Beast. Yeah. And he's also like this, that, and the other. Like every
he's everyone.
Every,
oh yeah, he's every
male
villain.
Antagonist from every Disney film. Is Rumpelstiltskin. Like I said, I love the actor. He's really great, but...
Yeah, the writers think he's way cooler than he actually is.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
his little giggle routine. Like,
Deary.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
But for some reason, we can't stop watching this stupid, terrible show.
Did you know I had a theory about who Emma Swan, like the one normal character is? What fairy tale creep-like person she is? She's a Swan Princess.
Oh, probably.
Emma Swan, she was turned into something that is not human or not, you know, fairy tale, which would be like a normal human, and then became like whatever, you know?
Probably.
Kind of a weird thing, yeah.
And I can't get over the fact that the Charmings named their baby Neil, which is the name of Emma Swan's baby daddy.
Yeah, that's real weird.
Yeah.
That's real weird.
Here's your brother, who we named after your former lover.
Yeah. Did you know that guy was in the first Thor movie? Charming?
No.
Yeah, he was Fandral. He was the Errol Flynn, like, with the
goatee and
the mustache and everything.
Yeah. Well, also, the Mad Hatter is Bucky Barnes in Captain America.
You're right! You're right, he is! Oh, man!
Disney.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Wow.
Hey, you see... the Mad Hatter stuff. I wish they did more with that because that was an interesting plot line.
Yeah.
Well, he almost wasn't going to be in the Wonderland spinoff because of his shooting schedule for like Captain America and stuff.
Oh yeah. You know, I didn't watch that spinoff. I didn't watch either of the spinoffs.
Yeah.
There was another one.
I think there was a second one. I
just knew about the Wonderland.
Was,
one.
Okay. I guess Jafar was the villain of the Wonderland.
Yeah,
one,
he was.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Also, why Jafar?
Yeah.
Where's the genie? Oh, wait, no, that was the mirror guy.
Wait, what? The mirror guy is the genie?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Giancarlo Esposito is the actor. Sydney.
Sydney, yeah.
Sydney Mearsley.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was his name.
Sydney Reflectorman.
Reflectorman. It's just so many like bonkers bad choices being made over and over again.
Yeah, it's like they plotted out the entire series and went, okay, every time there was a decision, you take the wrong one. Every single time.
There's a lot of scenes where like a good guy and a bad guy show up just to be mean at each other for a couple minutes.
It's supposed to be like Emma, like the diner, and then Regina just show up just to be mean and then leave, like for no reason. Like it's like.
Oh, you know. I like the actress that plays Regina, but man, her character is so the evil queen. Her character is so frustrating because it's like just talking about how it's her the fight over like paternity, like over the main kid, yeah. Like for like four seasons. That's the entire plot line between the main hero and the main antagonist is, you know, who is the mother?
I like how later they just both kind of become, you know, both moms, and it's okay. Like, that's good.
For a while, and then something happens, yeah. And the evil queen is like, oh no, it's my son, and yeah. You can't see my son, and all this stuff. It's like, why?
I like the idea that they're pushing the idea that a kid can have two moms, and that could be okay.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. But yeah. It just...
So, to sum it up, Once Upon a Time sucks.
not a good show. Glad it's almost over.
But it's fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh. Seems like it's more fun to hate on.
Oh,
yeah.
What'd you think of the Wizard of Oz stuff from the tail end of the third season?
It wasn't as bad as Neverland, which was the worst.
Neverland was pretty
bad. Oh, you mean where Marilyn Manson was the voice of Pan Shadow?
Yeah. I forgot about that.
I've never watched the show,
but I know all these weird, useless facts about it.
Yeah.
We used up enough time talking about Once Upon a Time?
I think we have, yeah. All right, I think we have the time for one quick news thing before we go to break, so...
You want to talk about the Joker real quick, since that's kind of a...
It's kind of a non-issue at this point. Yeah, so a week or two back, DC...
Imagine
Disney.
You mean it would be good?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
DC, God, I almost did it again. DC released an image of what the Joker is going to look like in
Suicide Squad.
And, you know, I want to say Jared Leto is a great actor. I think he's going to do a great job with the role. But the teaser image that they showed was the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Or none.
I mean, it's the Joker, and I mean, he looks crazy, but he's like covered in tattoos.
And like, some tattoos would be all right. I wouldn't be too upset if he had like a couple.
Well, yeah. There has been tattooed Joker before, and Frank Miller's All-Star Batman and Robin, he had like Yakuza tattoos of crazy stuff all down his back, which, yeah, whatever. But
what killed it for me was the... damaged tattoo on the forehead.
Yep, at his hairline he had in script the word damaged, which is, you know, DC telling, not showing.
Yeah.
He also had the teardrop J on his eye.
Yeah, the Joker J on the side of the corner of his eye.
Yeah, and like a lot of them, they're like stock, like, you know, the ha 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 with one shoulder, like the giant mouth on one arm or whatever. You know what? I actually heard this description from another outlet. And it makes sense. He didn't look like the Joker. He looked like the Joker wannabe.
Yeah.
Like the second in command that wants to, like, he looked like male Harley Quinn, like someone who loves the Joker so much he wants to become the Joker, so he's tattooed all this garbage all over himself.
He looks like a juggalo. He looks like a juggalo Joker.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Joker who's even more down with the clown.
They did come out about a couple days ago and say that was just a pre-production like mock-up, that he's not going to be tattooed up, or at least not for Suicide Squad. He's not going to be covered in tattoos, which DC is saying, you know, it's not real. That was just a mock-up. That's not going to happen.
It's like a promotional image.
For the 75th anniversary of the Joker character.
Yeah.
What I think it is DC saw the backlash, like the huge backlash and everyone making fun of it, and said, oh, we got to fix this.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, it'd be the first time they've listened to fans.
Yeah. Well, that's very true.
I don't think I saw anybody who liked it.
Yeah. Have you seen some of the pictures that they put in with the Joker, like the Home Alone?
Yeah.
Like they put the Joker, because he looks like he's doing the Kevin McAllister scream.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I saw where somebody took his head and photoshopped it onto the Joker's Harley cosplayer's body and Photoshop the tattoos off his face. Oh, yeah. And it looked good.
And it looked good. Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I mean, Jared Leto, he's a great actor. He's going to do a really good job. I have all the faith in the world in him, but just, God.
I don't have faith in the production.
No. Yeah.
Sorry, speaking of Suicide Squad, did you see today they released possibly what Deadshot will look like?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, it shows him in street clothes, and then it shows some kind of armored character, but people, they're unsure if the armored character is actually Deadshot, because he doesn't look like Deadshot.
Interesting. Well, you know what? Let's take a break, and we'll look that picture up, and when we come back, we'll talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Nerd Overload would like to thank IDE Computers for their support. With over 19 years of service, IDE is located on Delaware Avenue, Marion, 387-3376.
Nerd Overload is brought to you in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and more. Replays is a place for all your gaming needs, from retro up through current gen systems and accessories. They even have a free customer rewards program. Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, across from the Marion Plaza. 751-4072 or online at facebook.com/replaysmarion.
All right, and we're back. That was Bullet with Butterfly Wings by the Smashing Pumpkins. Before we get into our next topic, we did look at that picture of Deadshot for the Suicide Squad, and it just looks like Will Smith in a red jacket. Red jacket. I mean, you know.
It was a cool jacket.
Yeah, it was a really cool jacket.
Very shafty.
Yeah, yeah, very, very much so. But anyway, the reason we play that song is, this is kind of a weird news thing. We don't usually cover, like, wrestling news or anything like that, but this is too weird not to talk about for a couple minutes. Billy Corgan, the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins, has signed on to be, like, chief creative consultant and, like, head writer for TNA Wrestling.
Which I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, I thought it was long gone.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember it.
It's weird, and that's, Yeah, he said he wants to bring real-world issues into the story and plot lines of wrestling, like race issues and gender issues and stuff like that. And I don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah.
It sounds real weird, you guys.
He sounds like he's got some big ideas.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Billy Corgan. You're not Bono.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine Bono, like, doing wrestling-like stories?
We gotta help those starving children.
Gotta suplex the hunger right out of those kids.
Yeah. He's just walking around like the crowd with like a suitcase full of sunglasses, just passing them out.
Yeah, I heard he wears those because he has glaucoma.
Probably.
Really?
Yeah, that sounds familiar a little bit. Yeah.
That just makes me think of that story you told me about the concert where he's like going on about how. He's clapping his hands. He's like, every time I clap my hands,
a child dies or something like that.
He's like, stop clapping.
Yeah. Yeah. And somebody goes, stop clapping.
Oh, that's good.
I forgot about that. Yeah. I don't know why. I just think it's so funny.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there's really not much else to talk about this thing. A musician is writing wrestling, and that's weird.
And it's not even like main wrestling either. Yeah. It's like really just crap wrestling.
He might as well be writing his own backyard wrestling stories and having his friends play him out.
Yeah.
Jumping off the top of the house onto mattresses.
Trampoline wrestling.
With butterfly wings plays in the background.
He's smashing pumpkins in his backyard wrestling ring.
He's got plastic swans.
Oh man, I wonder if they'll have like on the press table a bunch of pumpkins that they smash. Like they pick up. It's like, oh man, he's bringing in a foreign object. What is that? Yeah, it's a pumpkin.
Billy Corgan's got the pumpkin. Is he going to smash it? Is he going to smash it?
All right, let's move on from that. We want to talk about the Silent Hills thing and video game stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we'll move on to video games.
Yeah,
some weird things have been happening at Konami, which are the people who make Metal Gear and Silent Hill.
It all makes me very sad, actually.
Yeah,
it's really weird because they've been really quiet about it.
Yeah, Hideo Kojima, who's the video game auteur mastermind behind Metal Gear, his name suddenly started disappearing from their websites.
And all these projects he's doing.
Yeah. And nobody knows why, still to this day. And people started wondering, well, what's going to happen with Silent Hills, which is this new project that he'd been working on with Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm. The guy who did Pacific Rim and a bunch of other stuff.
Hellboy, all that stuff.
Which actually had, like, a playable teaser that came out for PlayStation 4, like, maybe a It's almost a year ago at this point.
Probably, yeah.
Just, it set the world on fire. Like, everybody was super interested in this. Some people put it on their Game of the Year list. It was so interesting.
Yeah.
And now, I guess they're not going to do it.
Yeah, and the demo's gone too, right?
Yeah, they took that off the store. You can't even download it anymore.
Yeah.
It's such wasted potential because everybody was super stoked about it from that teaser.
And the fact that they paid Norman Reedus to make an appearance in it.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, Norman Reedus was involved.
And actually, the people who like made it official that this officially announced that this wasn't going to happen was Guillermo del Toro and Norman Reedus.
Yeah,
like they were both asked. And
I think they talked about it on their Twitters.
Yeah, I think the quote from del Toro was it saddens my greasy heart.
Yeah.
And then Rita said that, yeah, it's not, it's dead in the water, it's not happening. And he was pretty bummed out about it, you know?
I mean, it looked interesting. It might have actually breathed some life back into Silent Hill. Because there hasn't been a good one in a while.
Oh, no.
No, no, no.
I mean, the last good one I played was like 2.
Yeah.
I think 3 was the last, like, serviceable one.
Now, do you see, like, this project, or at least elements of it, taken to a, like, an independent... like a company that Kojima does, like creates or whatever, and he and Del Toro make a game that is similar
but not the same.
But not the same.
I hope so.
Like he removes like the copyrighted parts from Silent Hill, the Konami parts, and then
just makes a survival horror movie or game,
scary game. Because
there wasn't anything particularly Silent Hill about Silent Hills.
Yeah.
So they could do that. If we knew what's up with Kojima, we still don't even know why he's disappeared or. If he's been fired, or if he quit, or if they have him locked in a secret bunker somewhere, like, yeah. Nobody knows.
It just feels like an awkward breakup.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it feels like.
I mean, like, nobody really knows what's going on, you just know there's something going on.
Yeah. What do you think this is going to do to Metal Gear? Because that was his other big
project. Oh, they're gonna make Metal Gears without him, and it's going to be bad.
Yeah, they're going to be terrible. I love Metal Gear, too. It's like one of my favorite game franchises.
Konami can't do anything anymore. They made those Castlevanias that were all terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It completely ignored everything that made Castlevania good and just turned it into like a God of War beat-em-up clone.
Yeah, it's like Konami is where like game IPs go to die.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Like they haven't done anything but Metal Gear and FIFA games.
Yeah.
Or not FIFA, winning... I forget what soccer... franchise they do.
Yeah,
I think it's Winning 11, but that's all they have.
Yeah. And Konami used to be one of the big dogs.
Oh,
yeah.
I know. I used to love Konami games.
Mm-hmm.
And they even delisted from the New York Stock Exchange the other day. Like
now, what I heard from that is that it was like one of their weirder, like smaller things where it didn't... people in America weren't buying the stocks anyway. It's more of a Japanese one, so it's like... But it's still weird that they delisted it, but I guess it was like one of those where... it's not really doing anything, so let's just...
Yeah, it was a big money-saving maneuver.
Yeah.
I think it saved him like $2 million or something ridiculous.
Yeah. That's very weird.
But still, strange things are afoot at Konami.
Yeah. All I know is that if Kojima goes to Kickstarter to kickstart a game... like
Anything.
Anything. Yeah, like anything. Or like this horror game or whatever, it's going to make just a bajillion dollars.
Oh, yeah. It'll be like that... Hero 9 or whatever it was called. The
Mighty Number 9.
Mighty Number 9. Yeah, the Mega Man guy.
That, what is his name? The Mega Man guy.
Keiji Inafune.
Inafune, that's it, yeah. Because I put into that one, and that was...
People were excited about that.
It has a release date on it.
It does now.
September.
Excellent, I've been waiting. I was kind of worried there for a little while that it was... they kept adding all this different stuff to it. Because I get backer updates like every month, and it's like they're adding all this weird stuff, and I'm like, great, where's the game? I put $15 into this. I want to play it.
At least it's not like Broken Age, the Tim Schafer game, where it takes forever, and then they give you half of the game, and then it takes like another year, and you get the other half, which it's out now, but I haven't played it because I have to start the whole thing over. I don't remember what happened in the first half.
That's another video game creator that like. Hasn't really been putting out classic work in a while.
I think they just did a redo of Grim Fandango that was really good.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I want to play that really bad. I haven't played Grim Fandango
what
in like 100 years.
What was the game he did before that? It wasn't too long ago he put out another game.
Well, wasn't there a Halloween one?
Yeah, Costume Quest.
Yeah, sounded like that one. That was an iOS thing as well as
Yeah, they do whatever. A lot of little games now. They don't do like big budget deals anymore.
Yeah,
I always felt like he was more of a kind of an indie guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I mean, he had a couple big successes like with Psychonauts and stuff like that. But
although Psychonauts wasn't a big success at the time,
no, not at the time. But it's very much a cult game.
Now it is. Now like, it makes some money.
That in he didn't do it, but Beyond Good and Evil kind of like was a sleeper, but it became like a huge hit after that.
Yeah. Speaking of Kickstarter, there's been some news. A bunch of guys that used to work at Rare, who used to make the Banjo-Kazooie and Donkey Kong Country games, they've left Rare because it's a shell of its former self,
Pretty much, yeah.
And want to make a new 3D platformer in the vein of their classics called Yooka-Laylee, about a chameleon and a bat that are very much like Banjo-Kazooie.
It sounds an awful lot like Banjo-Kazooie, the dog and bird, or the bear and bird.
Yeah. But they started a Kickstarter, launched it just this morning.
At noon.
And this is Friday.
When
we're recording.
So. Oh, yeah. So I guess it was a couple days ago.
Yeah.
But it funded in 40 minutes.
That's insane.
Yeah, like $3,000.
Yeah, and it's probably going to break a million by tonight if it hasn't already.
Do you think they'll have a hit song like they did before with Banjo-Kazooie? Ukulele, ukulele.
Actually... Who's the music guy they have?
They got both David Weiss, who did all the great Donkey Kong ones, and Grant Kirkfobe, who did all the Banjo-Kazooie music, involved with this.
So probably we'll have some good music.
Excellent. Excellent.
They even got the announcer from Killer Instinct involved that is doing a voice.
Really?
The Combo Breaker guy.
Combo Breaker. I love Killer Instinct.
It's gonna be a really solid game. It looks really good. Yeah.
Now I'm excited. Just having Killer Instinct involved makes me excited.
Although it does look like highly derivative of Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Like, on one hand, like, yeah, it's the guys that made it, so it's okay. Like, it's their thing. And you don't want to shame them for making the game they want to make just because some gigantic corporation took their characters away.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because Microsoft owns Banjo and Conker and
all the Rare stuff.
Yeah.
Except for Donkey.
Yeah, because that's Nintendo. A little funny story, back when Microsoft bought Rare and they were touring their studio, some of their executives thought that they had now owned Donkey Kong.
Oh, wow.
Because they had Donkey Kong stuff around their office because they worked on so many games.
Wow.
They thought they had bought Donkey Kong for a little bit.
Oh, my God.
I can imagine them popping champagne. We got Donkey Kong! We got Donkey Kong! We got Master Chief, now we got Donkey Kong!
Wait, did Mario show up first in Donkey Kong?
Yeah.
Do we have Mario now?
Yeah. Take that, Nintendo! All
right. Well, yeah, it sounds like the Banjo-Kazooie, spiritual successor. It's rising from the grave.
Which is good, because I really enjoyed those games. But also rising from the grave, Dragon Ball is coming back to TV in Japan. Now, granted, of the four of us, I'm the only one who watches it. So yeah. I'm excited about screaming guys who do karate and change hair colors.
I'd watch it. Maybe we should watch it.
Maybe. I don't know anything about Dragon
Ball. Exactly.
Well,
I'm curious.
Hulu has, everything. Like, all the Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, so you can watch all the episodes of you guys screaming for 20 minutes to power up, and then the episode's over.
Well, yes.
That's the one I'll tell you a story. In junior high, I tried it. Because, Toonami on Cartoon Network, they played them a lot. I tried it once. Because I've never been much of an anime guy. The episode I tuned into was, all these, villains talking to each other, and it kept cutting back and forth between that and the main character and some, floating space orb just going, for, the entire episode. That was it. There was no other plot. And got to the end of the episode, and, it was nothing. It was nothing. So I was like, what am I wasting my time on?
It is.
Why am I watching this?
It is one of the bigger tropes in anime to make fun of Dragon Ball for the screaming, because it does happen a lot. I mean, during my favorite saga in the entire series, which is the Frieza saga, which is the second big arc in Dragon Ball Z, there is literally Frieza's going to destroy this. The big villain Frieza is going to destroy this planet, and he says, "You've got 5 minutes." And four episodes later,
some really stretched out minutes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was bad. It was really, really bad.
That's something. That sure is something. But hey, you know what? No hate here, man.
But I enjoy it. It's one of my, it's kind of one of my guilty pleasures. Yeah. It's, I think part of it is nostalgia as a kid, watching the original Dragon Ball and then watching Dragon Ball Z like in middle school and high school and stuff like that.
Now, wasn't there a movie that just came out?
Yes, there was a movie that recently just come out called Battle of the Gods, which takes place.
That's the one that had that big purple chihuahua on the front?
He's actually more like a cat. He's very cat-like.
He looked Egyptian.
Yeah, he was Lord Beerus, the god of destruction.
Mm.
I don't know if that was his Japanese name because I watched it dubbed. Yeah, that's, it's, I forgot, it's been a while since I actually sat down and watched Dragon Ball. The movie's got some weird points into it. The whole reason he was going to destroy Earth is because he didn't get any pudding.
Wow.
What?
Because he comes to Earth, and Bulma, one of the main characters, who's been one of the main characters for a long time, female character, is having a birthday party, and Majin Buu, the big villain from the final saga of Dragon Ball Z, who eventually becomes a good guy, ate all the pudding, and Beerus didn't get any, so he got mad. And when he gets mad, he goes on planet destructions.
Okay. I don't know how to respond to that.
Like I said, there are some really, really weird points
that's a big leap.
Dragon Ball.
I
know it's not a selling point. I understand this.
You're not selling it to me right now.
But there are some great stories in Dragon Ball. One of my favorite movies is called The History of Trunks. And it's all about this character, Trunks, who is...
Invented swimming trunks. Sorry.
No, actually, his mom is Bulma, and Bulma's last name is Briefs. And Bulma is a Japanese derivative of bloomers.
Okay.
So, pretty much everyone in her family is named after some type of...
Underwear?
Underwear, okay.
Yes. Akira Toriyama is weird with names.
Dragon Ball is weirder than I thought.
Oh, yeah. Vegeta is vegetables, and, you know, there's Piccolo, and back in old Dragon Ball, King Piccolo and all his minions were named after instruments.
Okay.
And, you know, pretty much the original story of Dragon Ball is the fact that it's kind of a retelling of the Journey to the West with Son Goku, the Chinese monkey king. Oh, yeah,
because the main character had, like, a tail, right?
Yeah, he has a monkey that tail. And he also had an extending magic fighting stick.
Ah.
Called the power pole.
Is that what they're calling it?
I thought that Piccolo was named after pickles because he's green.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too. To be honest with you.
Honestly, I've heard some people call him the Pickle Man before. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is this Toriyama guy going to be coming back?
Oh yeah. He's coming back. It's not going to be like Dragon Ball GT where it was basically fan fiction that got animated by Funimation. Yeah, it'll be an officially canon Dragon Ball series by Akira Toriyama.
Yeah.
And that's the part I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it's good that the original creator's coming back because, you know, that's a good chance for everything to be good. Flip side of that, have you heard about Dark Knight 3?
Womp, womp.
Okay,
yes.
So there's a guy named Frank Miller. He's a comic book writer.
He used to be pretty big in the industry. His name is like legendary.
Yeah, he did independent books called Ronin. He did all the Sin City comics.
300,
yeah. He did, in 88, I think it was, he did a comic called The Dark Knight Returns. And it's basically, you know, old man Batman coming back to Gotham.
I really like that story. That was one of my favorite
books.
That's
a really good one. Everyone likes that story. Shoot, Zack Snyder loved it so much, he's basically making a movie of it.
Yeah. That's
where Robot Suit Batman comes from. That's where Batman fighting Superman comes from. A lot of that stuff comes from that. It was really good. And it was actually one of the first, like, major, like, super dark and grim and gritty versions of Batman put into comics, which is what we have now.
Now, yes.
He did a sequel of it back in the 90s, which wasn't very good. Dark Knight Strikes Again. It made no sense. It made zero sense. There was something happened with Frank Miller. He's always been kind of right-leaning a little bit, and I don't want to get too political, but he, over the past couple of years, has gone, like, straight into super conservative, like, super conservative stuff.
Rush Limbaugh mode.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. I would almost say Glenn Beck mode.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Real bad. And he, Dark Knight Strikes Again made no sense, and it was a lot of, you know, right-leaning, you know, ideas.
Themes.
Themes and stuff. And his most recent book was an independent book. It was originally written to be Batman, but he decided DC got cold feet, rightfully so, and he changed some of the names and changed some of the stuff. It's called Holy Terror. It used to be called Holy Terror Batman, where a Batman, a thinly veiled Batman analogous character, beats up Muslims for over 100 pages. That's all the book is.
Why would they hire him after that?
Anyways, yeah. Anyways,
why would anyone?
yeah, exactly. But anyways, he is coming back to DC to write another graphic novel called in the Dark Knight universe, Dark Knight 3, The Master Race.
Which sounds super questionable.
Oh, boy. And if you've seen the cover, I put it up on the website, nerdoverload.com. Go check it out. It is Batman looking all grim and dark and stuff, and a bleeding Superman chest symbol that is bleeding down to make the Roman numeral 3 in the title. It is awful. It is awful, and I don't understand what DC is thinking putting this out when they have Batman versus Superman so close to coming out. It's on everyone's mind. Why are they saying this is our definitive version of this character you love?
I think they're trying to play off the, hey, everyone really likes The Dark Knight Returns. You know, I think they're trying to ride that coattail still a little more.
Yeah.
And it's not working anymore.
Yeah, and Miller just flat doesn't get the character anymore. He said in a recent interview that he writes Batman like a drunk, abusive uncle.
What?
He thinks of what a drunk, abusive uncle would say if he were wearing a Batman costume. And that's how he writes Batman.
Oh, God.
It's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. And, you know, I'll give everything a shot. You know me. Don't knock it till you try it, you know. But it's going to be really bad. It's going to be really bad, you guys.
He obviously doesn't know the character, so,
no,
yeah.
No, not at all.
It just makes me really sad, because I do love The Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
That is a really good one. Like I said, that's what they're basing a lot of the movie version.
Oh, yeah, the suit even looks like The Dark Knight suit.
It does with the short ears and stuff.
Short ears, and it's kind of whiter.
Mm-hmm.
That even had a female Robin in it.
Which I hear is going to be Jenna
Malone,
right?
There was that rumor, and there was that extra who got fired for leaking information.
Yeah, which means it's probably true.
Yeah.
I mean, Jenna Malone would make a great Lady Robin.
Yeah.
Kelly, what was her name?
Kapowski.
No.
Whoa! Time out. No, it was Carrie Kelly.
Yeah, there we go.
That's it.
I knew I had part of it.
Yeah. But anyway, it's going to be a really bad comic.
Jenna Malone's worked with Zack Snyder before,
too. In Sucker Punch.
Yeah. So that makes it even more likely.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I forgot Zack Snyder directed Sucker Punch.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of awful movies.
I'll never forget. Because that's not good
either. Oh, it was a terrible movie. And I wanted to like it so bad.
You know, if they stuck to two, like, storylines.
Layers.
Two layers of it, it would have been fine. Adding, like, a third one. They could have removed one of the three. It doesn't matter which one. They could have removed one of the three, and it would have been okay. It was like a movie inside a movie inside a movie, and it was just...
It was like Inception, but not good.
Yeah. Like, they wanted to be smart, but no, they weren't hitting it.
Oh, God. You choke on the storylines in that movie.
They wanted to be smart, and they wanted fan service, and...
You can't have both.
You can't have both. So...
Speaking of DC and questionable decisions.
Yeah. Okay, this is another thing. This is actually going to be take a little bit of me reading, so buckle in, you know, thrilling stuff here.
As Samuel L. Jackson says in Jurassic Park, hold on to your butts. Yeah.
All right, so there is a comic writer named Jerry Conway, a really famous guy. He wrote in the 70s and 80s, created a whole slew of characters, like one of the DC greats, you know. He's right there. He's right up there with, I don't want to say like Stan Lee, but he's right up there with like Tony Isabella and like a lot of big famous names like Joe Kelly and stuff like that. This is all kind of come out because of the Flash TV series, which is great. There's a character on it called Caitlin Snow. She's one of the main like core group of like supporting characters for the Flash.
Yeah.
She's also in the comics. The name, the alter ego of a supervillain named Killer Frost, and it's been hinted that the character Killer Frost is going to pop up at some point in season 2 of The Flash. Jerry Conway created the character Killer Frost, but not this version of Killer Frost, okay?
Yeah.
Because there have been, like, legacy villains and stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, someone asked, you know, what kind of royalties he's getting. Because they're using, for all intents and purposes, they're using one of his characters in a media thing. And It wasn't that. They asked why he hasn't been credited on any of the Flash episodes with the creation of
Caitlin Snow.
And his response is, because according to DC, the character wasn't created by anyone. Make sense so far?
Yep. Think about that.
Think about that for a second. Okay, so what he says essentially is, for the longest time, there was a really good creator
compensation
for things, for characters that pop up in other media. For years, it was really good until DC Comics became DC Entertainment, which is an arm of Warner Brothers, and that's which was made about, I want to say, about 10 years ago.
Yeah, when the new head of DC came out.
Right.
Diane, what's her name?
Let's see what it is. It is Diane Nelson, is what it is. Anyways, there's a new thing where if a creator wants to be officially recognized as the creator of a character, they have to fill out paperwork for any and all characters that they have created prior to the use of the character in any other form of media. So any named character in any comic over this guy's entire career, which he says is about 500 characters, he has to fill out piles of paperwork on each and every single one in case something pops up in another show. Also, creators don't get credit for characters that are considered derivative of other characters. His example was Power Girl. He didn't create Power Girl. Someone else created Power Girl. But because her backstory is tied in with Superman, her powers are very similar to Superman, technically the creator of Power Girl can't claim rights to Power Girl because she is derivative of Superman. So technically, by DC standards, Power Girl was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, who hadn't been in comics for almost 20 years when the character was made. Does that make sense to you guys?
No.
Okay, it gets better. He filled out the paperwork for Killer Frost. Technically, because DC, according to DC, he created the character Killer Frost, but not the Killer Frost that's on the show. His Killer Frost name was Crystal Frost. Okay? Different name. And so technically, yes, DC recognizes he created Crystal Frost, the character alias of Killer Frost. Years later, another Killer Frost comes out. Her name is Caitlin Snow in the comics, the one that they're using on The Flash. Technically, he should, by rights, because it's a derivative character, he owns it. But he doesn't. He didn't create it. But the creators who created the character can't claim rights to it. So,
because
it's derivative. But he didn't create the character, so he can't get his name on it. So technically, under these new bylines from DC Entertainment, no one created the character, so no one gets royalties for it, and no one gets recognition for it.
Poof, out of thin air, this character came.
Yes, the character came fully formed out of the ether one day.
Legally.
It's just spinning around and around the toilet.
It makes no sense. It's legal jargon. It's what it is.
Ripping people off.
Exactly.
Artists.
That's like, I think I was reading, he created Felicity Smoke, too.
Yeah. He did.
Who appears in Arrow.
Yeah, and he is getting credit for that.
Oh, is he?
He is getting credit for that because she's not a derivative character, and he did fill out the paperwork in time to get the rights to it.
Okay.
Now, if they change the word, the spelling of the name or anything like that, no longer the case because it would be a derivative character. See how that makes sense?
She turns into Fiona Thiem.
Yeah, right. You know what? You laugh, but that's something that DC would probably try to pull. You know, so
Ollie, I'm changing my name.
I have to become something more.
So think about this. Eventually, they're going to get to like Wally West on the Flash, like the Kid Flash version, right?
Oh yeah.
And you know what? Let's say they do a future episode where Wally West is the Flash instead of Barry Allen. Who's going to get the money for Wally West?
Nobody.
Because he is the derivative character of the Flash.
Yeah. But Gardner Fox, the original creator of The Flash, didn't create Kid Flash. He was created by someone else.
But at the same time, though, there's an even older version of The Flash.
Very true.
So
And that creator's not around to claim the rights to Jay Garrick, the Golden Age Flash.
Yeah.
So
nobody gets anything for The Flash.
It's a really bad system. It's a really bad system in DC.
It's really sad because the DC creator compensation program used to be great.
Used to be, because Paul Levitz was a writer. He became editor-in-chief of DC, he was a writer, so he took care of the creators of the characters.
He'd been there. He'd been in the trenches. He knew what it was like.
Yeah. And this this Diane Nelson, or whatever her name is, she is a Warner Brothers person. She is just, she's never been in the medium. She doesn't know. It just, putting the screws to everybody is what it is.
So depressing.
It yeah, is. It,
should,
it is.
It should, they should get sued. Although they're probably covering their tracks so well, yeah.
But they can't, because technically, according to the paperwork,
it's
know,
there.
It's there. Cut and dry. So you know.
It's very much a Warner Brothers super corporate covering their butts.
Yeah, bureaucratic nightmare.
Burying everything in red tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so they can save a few pennies.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, being a someone who used to be pretty much artistic and everything, it really breaks my heart. The fact that there are wonderfully talented people out there and brilliant individuals who are not getting credited.
Yeah, they're not even getting credit for what
for the work they've done.
And you know, a lot of them, it's not about the money either. You know,
yeah, just a little bit of recognition.
The money is nice, but the recognition is more important because it boosts their recognition in the media, so that their new projects can get some spotlight. But instead, they have to resort to going on Tumblr or Twitter and you know listing out their plight, their personal plight, so that this stuff can get recognized. It's insane. So the next time you're watching The Flash, remember a lot of these characters did come from somewhere, not according to DC.
Pour one out for Gary Conway.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, with that, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. We're going to get out of here. Again, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com, which is a website we run.
Nerd Overload website.
Facebook.com/nerdoverload website. Yep, go over there. Like us, please.
Twitter at Nerd Overload.
Or Nerd underscore
Overload.
Right.
You can email us with your questions or comments at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Oh, and actually, I haven't told any of you guys this. This is going to be a surprise.
Oh, blowing my mind
for
here.
For our local listeners, because we're now on twice a day on Saturdays, for our local listeners in Marion County, if you email us a question or comment and it gets picked for the show, you get a free dozen of donuts from Andrew's Pastries.
Woo! Andrew's is delicious.
And it's good stuff. So that's a little incentive. Now, for our out-of-area listeners, I'm sorry.
No donuts for you.
We'll figure something out. But for local, if it's local and we pick it.
I can rustle you up a Steam key for a random Steam game.
There you go. That sounds good.
If you're out of the area.
So anyway, yeah, if you send us any questions, comments on our Facebook, on our email, be sure to include name and phone number or some kind of contact so that we can get, if your question's chosen, we can get that out to you.
And don't forget, it's free comic book day. Go out, give some comics some love, watch Avengers.
Yeah, we'll be back next week, ready to talk about Avengers 2.
Definitely. All right.
And Monday is May the 4th, so May the 4th be with you.
This show has been brought to you by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and IDE Computers.